Welcome to Obesity, a Disease, the official Obesity Medicine Association podcast exploring the many facets of the disease of obesity. Obesity, a Disease podcast is brought to you by the Obesity Medicine Association, the clinical leader in obesity medicine.
Welcome. My name is Dr. Harold Bays, Medical Director and President of the Louisville Metabolic and Atherosclerosis Research Center, located in Louisville, Kentucky. This podcast is entitled Obesity, a Disease, the official podcast of the Obesity Medicine Association. In this series of podcasts, what we like to do is we like to take articles, recent articles that have been published on topics we think are helpful to clinicians in obesity medicine, and we tend to gravitate towards those articles that are published in Obesity Pillars. And Obesity Pillars is the journal of the Obesity Medicine Association. And the particular article that we're going to discuss today is entitled Obesity and Advocacy, a Joint Clinical Perspective and Expert Review from the Obesity Medicine Association and the Obesity Action Coalition. And we are just so fortunate to have the first author of this paper with us here to give us insight, you know, that kind of inside information about what was going on with this publication. Carolyn Francoville Brown. Dr. Brown, why don't you tell the folks who you are and what you do?
Yeah, hi. So Carolyn Francovilla, I go by Dr. Francovilla, and I'm a family physician and obesity medicine specialist. And I'm in the Denver, Colorado area. I'm the founder of Help Your Patients Lose Weight and the GLP Strong program. And I'm so excited to talk about advocacy today. This has been a passion my entire career, because when we interact with an individual patient, we can make a huge impact on their life. But when we do change through advocacy, we can affect thousands, tens of thousands, millions of people with change through advocacy. So I think it's a really important tool that clinicians have, and a way we can really help such a large amount of people outside of what we do in the office.
Well, I mean, look, one of the benefits of having podcasts is to give information that you're not going to get from just reading the article. And I mean, I don't know that this article gets written if it weren't for you. I mean, because you have been such an important leader in advocacy in obesity and your work with the American Medical Association and such. And so, you know, as I said at the beginning, so great to have you here. I just want to summarize some of the things. I encourage people to read this. At least in my humble opinion, I know of no article like this published in the medical literature that goes through the building blocks of advocacy and their implications and such, and what it all means from a clinician standpoint, from a patient standpoint. But this was a joint statement from the Obesity Medicine Association. So it's, you know, Obesity Medicine Association is the largest organization of physicians, nurse practitioners, and physician associates and other clinical experts in obesity. And then it was also a joint statement with the Obesity Action Coalition, national nonprofit organization of more than 80,000 members. So, you know, the idea that we would have both these organizations together to agree upon, you know, advocacy and what it means for patients and such. And so I just think it's really, really great. And I think the takeaway message for me, before we get into more of a granular discussion, is that, look, the objective to advocacy, at least in my mind, and according to this paper, is to foster collective involvement and community engagement, leading to collaborations that help empower patients living with obesity and their clinicians to seek and achieve changes in policy, environment, and societal attitudes. So I think that's what the conclusion of the article says. But, you know, Carolyn, just from your perspective as a clinician, as a person who, you know, lives this, I mean, what does advocacy mean to you?
Yeah, it is one of those things that is hard to define in a short blurb, but because it can be so complicated, hence why we have a whole article. But ultimately, with advocacy, you are trying to promote public awareness of whatever it is that's an important topic. And you're trying to usually use that public awareness to change some sort of policy or change something in the world based on that awareness. And so I think, put simply, that's what advocacy is. And there may be lots of different ways that that advocacy occurs. And it can happen from, you know, the patient side, it can happen from clinician, it can happen from an organizational perspective. But the end goal is, like you said, collaborating, bringing those different interested parties together, using lots of different tools in order to create awareness and create some sort of impactful change around the topic of interest. So when it comes to obesity, there are many things that, you know, we have had as priorities to advocate on. Some is reducing bias and stigma, recognizing obesity as a disease, improving coverage for various treatment options from surgery to medication to intensive behavioral therapy. So those are just some of the topics around obesity that advocacy has been involved in.
Well, you know, one of the things in this that I really like about this article is all these things that you're talking about, many of them are described in graphics. So there's multiple graphics in this particular publication that I think you know, gives you a visual sense of exactly what it is you're talking about there. So it backs up what's in the text with all these figures and graphics and such. And one of them, inspired by you, was the different types of advocacy. So there's individual advocacy, maybe on the part of, you know, again, individuals and such, systems advocacy, and self-advocacy. Self-advocacy being advocacy being from the patient, which you mentioned. But when we go through self-advocacy on the part of the patient, system advocacy on the part of, again, organizations that get, like the Obesity, you know, Action Coalition, you know, that try to affect policy on a national level and such, there's that other component there, that individual advocacy. So what are different ways that clinicians can be individual advocates for their patients with the obesity?
Well, thank you for the kind words, Dr. Bays. So if I inspired them, you're the one who put them into being and created the actual graphics, I think. So your work in this cannot be understated. But in terms of how clinicians can get involved, there are lots of different ways. So there is that individual level. And some of that individual, or what sometimes we'll call everyday advocacy, is just going through the world looking for, say, bias, looking for that lack of coverage for your patients, and actually just taking that action to fight it. So that's on the most simple level, you know, recognizing bias, correcting other people in the world, maybe when they are having obesity bias, when they're not using patient-first language. Those are little acts of advocacy. And then things like joining the OMA, where we, you know, bring our heads together and are able to work as an organization. You don't have to do the work yourself. Sometimes just joining an organization like the OAC or the OMA that's doing advocacy, being a member, being aware of what's going on, that counts as advocacy. But maybe you're going to go a step farther. So things like writing a letter to your senator, to your congressperson, especially about things like TROA, but other things that come up. People get overwhelmed by the idea of that. They think it's a big, scary task. A lot of times it's as simple as signing onto a form letter, adding a few thoughts on what your patient experience or even your personal experience has been. So those are lots of different, you know, ways that people can advocate. And, you know, the big thing with this is that little things add up. So 10 years ago, I could maybe name on one hand other people who were interested in obesity advocacy. And over the last decade, it has swelled to, you know, a committee that we have for the OMA that we have to turn away applicants because there's so many people who are interested, and news outlets reporting on these things. And so these things grow over time, and those little bits of impact just grow and grow over time. But advocacy and policy is something that you definitely have to be patient about, because these little things that we do take a long time in many cases to add up.
Well, so a couple thoughts I have about that. First off, just to be sure that people are clear, I don't think any of us, you, me, or any of the other authors are suggesting that individual advocacy is looking for fault in other people. I think a lot of times individual advocacy on the part of clinicians is looking at ourselves. So I think a lot of us look and see, like, for example, the waiting room, right? That is a, when you say that's a form of advocacy to make sure that the, you have the proper chairs, you have the proper blood pressure cuffs, you have the proper, exam beds. I mean,
those bits of advocacy for our patients, right? Making sure our patients have a safe environment in our clinic where they have furniture they can sit comfortably on, that they have blood pressure cuffs that fit them, and that they don't feel like they're being stigmatized or being singled out for needing different equipment. It's just part of the standard equipment. It's part of the standard workflow, and creating a world where you are having less bias or less stigma in the environment you're creating is certainly, you know, the first step.
Well, and possibly the most important thing is when you take a person's weight can be a very personal thing. And to ensure that whenever weights are taken, that it's done in some sense of privacy. Would you agree with that? I mean, look, I know back in the day, people would get the old timey scales and they, you know, they'd move the little, you know, things across and whatever. And then say, what was the weight? And they would yell down the hall, 245 pounds. And they would just scream out or say it out loud or whatever. You know, hopefully, certainly people in obesity and medicine, I mean, we don't do that anymore. It's like we have in our research site, you know, we have a dedicated room where we have people for their weight and where we record it. That's just not something that we just blurt out to the embarrassment of many. Now, some patients may not care, but a lot do. In a sense, isn't that also kind of an advocacy to advocate for, as you said, an environment that is, you know, less confrontational to patients?
Yeah. And I think also as the leader in your clinic, that may also be, you know, not just creating that environment, but ensuring that anyone that's on your team also is using appropriate language around patients, is not, you know, shouting out weights or not commenting on the weight, right? Just recording it like a number, as opposed to even congratulating or making any sort of comment about the weight, being more neutral about it when a staff member is getting that number or recording it. And again, as the leaders in the clinic, we're setting that tone for our staff and anyone we're interacting with. And that's part of advocacy, right? Is teaching the people around us how to communicate with patients appropriately and reducing bias and stigma around weight.
So we've talked about self-advocacy where patients, you know, would benefit from being advocates for themselves, not accept second-tier treatment just because they have obesity and such. I think the greatest example there is ensuring that anytime a person who has the overweight and the obesity comes into the clinic that has any ailment whatsoever, too many times it just, well, if you would just lose weight, you know, just stop it. Okay. You know, just stop. These are people with obesity. We shouldn't just label them in words, but label them in thoughts that every conceivable ailment that they have must be related to the obesity. A lot of complications of obesity, no doubt. But to just reflexively determine without doing any kind of thoughtful evaluation that it all must be the obesity, that's not acceptable. And then we have the individual advocacy, like you talked about from clinicians, but then there's this systemic advocacy where you're actually going to, you know, policy leaders and government officials, and you're going to, you know, insurance folks and whatever. That's a whole nother level. And I must say the article goes into that for people who really want to get engaged in that kind of stuff. And Carolyn, I know you do this already, but for a lot of other people that say, I really want to get involved in policy and such, one of the deterrents that I think for people, it's like, well, you guys have been working on it, not just for 1 year, not just 5 years, but like 10 years. You know, I don't think I really want to invest that kind of effort if I don't see things are progressing as quickly as I would like. Why does policy change? Why do they take so long? What's up with that?
Yeah, there's, you know, on the policy side, like in the case of TROA, which is the Treat and Reduce Obesity Act, people will joke in colloquialisms and say it's like an act of Congress. In this case, this is an act of Congress, right? We are literally trying to get something passed through Congress. And that is, you know, for all the good and bad of how our system works, a long process. And it takes growing an interest in this. So we have had good bipartisan support for TROA for a decade, but it hasn't passed because there hasn't been that nidus, that interest, that importance to the American public for it to pass. Now that has changed in the last couple of years and starting to feel more hopeful that this will actually pass because of all the little actions along the way, right? The things like patients standing up for themselves and saying, hey, like I want my knee pain evaluated. Yes, I know I have obesity, but I also need my knee evaluated. The interest in medications, celebrities who come out and you know, talk about their experiences. All these little things add up. And then when you have good solid evidence and science and you have good policy, then it starts to all come together. But it is a long process. Again, 10 years ago, you know, people weren't even really using the term obesity that often. We were, you know, 10 plus years ago, we were the bariatric medical, you know, bariatric society of physicians. And so, you know, these things do just take time. But like most things that are worthwhile take time and effort. And so I think that you do just have to have those patiences and you have to see that there is incremental change. There is little things that are happening. But unfortunately, it just does take a while when we're trying to get policy. You have to get all the stakeholders interested. You have to get politicians interested. You have to get the public interested. And everyone has to think it's important enough to invest time and money into whatever you're advocating for.
Well, I mean, you mentioned that, you know, a lot of small things. I mean, I understand what you're saying. Small steps, you know, can get you to where you want to be. It just may take time. But on the other hand, in fairness, I mean, there's a lot of things the Obesity Medicine Association has done that I think are fairly large things. And this advocacy article is one. But in addition, you do a lot of work with the American Medical Association. And there's been policies that are passed there that I think not inconsequential. I mean, I think some of those are pretty big deals.
I mean, one of the most exciting things in my career was being there in person when the American Medical Association, the AMA, voted to declare obesity a disease. That was a huge step in the right direction.
There you go.
News coverage, the OMA, Dr. Ethan Lazarus participated in that. We had great leadership and coalition, right? Lots of organizations, the American Academy of Family Physicians were a huge champion for that. Lots of different organizations came together and really said, no, this is a disease and we need to start treating it like such. And so that was a really powerful first step. And then, you know, things that, you know, Dr. Lazarus and myself and the OMA board and others have done is leveraged that, right? So we use that information and then we create more policy and we say, okay, now we've agreed it's a disease. Now let's all agree we need to treat it. Now let's agree we need to treat it, you know, with all the possible options. And so you build on that. And then you use that as support when you say, go to Congress. You say, look, you know, the AMA supports this. The AMA says this is a disease. The AMA says this is what we should do. And it becomes this powerful collective voice of medicine, as opposed to just my opinion as Dr. Francavilla that we should treat obesity. So these things really do snowball, but it starts with small changes in the right place of like, let's just all agree obesity is a disease. And again, that was such an exciting moment 10 years ago to have happen, but it really has been the foundation in many ways where we've been able to build and make more change.
Well, all I can say is, you know, thank you for all the work that you've done and others in the Obesity Medicine Association, at the American Medical Association, other organizations and such, because yes, there's been a lot of small things that have happened that are critically important, but there've been a lot of big things that have happened that I think are critically important. And I think anybody that's listening to that, listening to this podcast, whether it be a clinician or maybe a patient, is got to be, I think, feeling better, feeling that there are people that got their back, right? That are serving as advocates for their interests and such. And so, again, thank you. And thank you for this. You know, like I said, I don't know any other publication like this in the medical literature. So I'd encourage people, it's free. All these articles are free from Obesity Pillars, the official journal of the Obesity Medicine Association. I encourage people to read this. And if they do have an interest in advocacy, Again, lots of links, lots of information, lots of guidance of where you can go to, you know, where maybe you can make a difference. So again, the article was is entitled Obesity and Advocacy, a Joint Clinical Perspective, an Expert Review from the Obesity Medicine Association and the Obesity Action Coalition. I'd encourage you to read it. My name is Dr. Harold Bays, and you've been listening to Obesity, a Disease, the official podcast of the Obesity Medicine Association.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Obesity, a Disease. For more information about obesity medicine podcasts and other valuable resources from the clinical leaders in obesity medicine, please visit www.obesitymedicine.org/podcasts. If you enjoyed this episode and want to listen regularly, head over to iTunes where you can subscribe, rate, and leave us a much appreciated review. The views expressed in this episode are those of the host and guest and do not necessarily represent the opinions, beliefs, or policies of the Obesity Medicine Association or its members. Please join us again for our next episode of Obesity, a Disease.